for us is IVF, and we see IVF clinics more and more looking for these solutions. And I think the understanding is that this is here to stay, and we might as well learn how to work with it, because if not, we stay behind.
Hello, and welcome to HIMSCast. I'm Susan Morse, Executive Editor of Healthcare Finance News. It's my pleasure today to have Daniela Gilboa, who is CEO of AIVF in Israel. Welcome, Daniela.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you and to talk again. Daniela and I last talked at HIMSS 23 in Chicago, where she brought me up to date on everything that AIVF is doing for in vitro fertilization and the success rates that she's having with that. I can't remember the number, Daniela. What's the number for success with in vitro there? Was it 90%?
No, so let me just review everything. So the way I always say, you know, I come from deep within the IVF industry, so I always say that IVF is probably the most important technology invented or developed in the last 50 years. Having said that, it's not good enough. The success rates are not high enough, and the time to pregnancy it can be too long. So this is because it's not optimized. And so having AI or incorporating AI into the decision-making of the physicians and embryologists can really, really move the needle and change and increase the success rates. So what we're talking about, and this the metrics that we are measuring, is time to pregnancy and success rates or pregnancy rates in each and every clinic. So the last study that we've conducted, and this is with, you know, real world data, not a retrospective analysis, but real world data, we see that we can increase success rates in up to 30%, which is significant. It really varies from different clinics. It varies with different age groups, but overall, the effect of AI on you know, on the decision making on and the actual understanding of which embryo is the one that we should transfer back to the uterus really can be optimized through AI.
Yes, and I remember when we talked, and I want to get to AI because that's huge, and you've been working with AI for years, as I understand it. But as I remember talking to you, I was amazed at what you told me about success rates that you have in Israel as compared to the U.S. And those success rates. And I'm wondering where your company operates. For in other words, I know you're out of Israel, but where do you offer your services? Is it in Israel only, or have you expanded beyond that?
We're all over the world. We see IVF as a global, you know, global problem, a global technology and a global problem. So we're now operating in Korea, in Australia, across Europe, Brazil, and in the US as well. So, you know, it's global, and we hope to work with the Indian market very soon, and of course the Israeli market as well.
Yeah, thank you for that, for the update. And now I'd like to get to AI, which is the focus of our talk today. You were part of a recent study. How is AI making a difference, please?
In IVF, enormously. So let me pinpoint, I think, the most essence of IVF, or the million-dollar question in IVF today, and this is why I think most cycles fail. So the million-dollar question in IVF is which embryo becomes a baby. So in IVF, unlike natural cycles, we don't have one egg. We produce more eggs, like 8, 10, 12. So these eggs are fertilized and are developed into embryos. And then the question is, which embryo do we transfer? Like you have 6, 7, 8 good-looking embryos, they might look the same. The way we evaluate embryos today, that is very subjective, human analysis. There's bias inside. There's all human behavior that it comes into this moment of embryo diagnosis, embryo evaluation, and eventually embryo selection. And so incorporating AI really does the magic. And by that, I mean we're not taking away any embryologist. We are empowering the embryologist and the physicians. This is a tool that helps them make better decisions. It's another layer of information for them that they can use to make better and more accurate decisions. And the AI is trained on millions of embryos and can really understand or identify or eventually predict the outcome. So I'll give you two examples. Okay, an embryo could look good, but in fact, it's genetically abnormal. And today, what we usually do in IVF labs is we test the embryo through biopsy. We actually biopsy the embryo, small embryo with about 150 cells. We take a few cells out and ship it to a genetic lab to test the genetic makeup of the chromosome. This is, of course, invasive. It costs a lot of money. We have to freeze the embryos, send the patients home. So it's massive. AI can do it non-invasively, real time, and we can predict the genetic makeup of the chromosome through AI that identifies features that are correlated with different genetic abnormalities and can really give us very good sense of the probability of this embryo being normal or abnormal. It's a screening test. It's not a diagnostic test. But as a screening test, it gives us a good sense of the health of the embryo. Again, real time, no need to freeze the embryo, no need to send the patient home. And again, it's another layer of information that the patient, the embryologist, and the physician can have to make better decisions. And we have so many screening tools in pregnancy, like ultrasound, like different tests that we do, blood tests. And now we have this for the IVF patients. And I think it's massive. I think it's a game changer. And I really see it widely spreading across, patients and clinics to use this test or, screening test, while you're doing your IVF journey. So this is one example.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you about success rate. Tell me if this is right. I had written this down after our last conversation. In Israel, 5% of babies born are born through IVF. That number is 2% in the United States. And then you improve success rates in 48% of women, is what I quoted you as saying. Is that correct?
Yeah, okay. So I want to clarify something. So this the it's not success rates. The 5% versus the 2% is not the success rates. This is the I think it's a measure of the how IVF is accessible in this in different countries. So in Israel, where we don't have any economic barriers of entry, and every woman that need IVF can just go do IVF. So what we see here, it's not success rates, it's the need for IVF. I think Israel is what we learn from the Israeli model, where you have no barriers, is that this is the real need for IVF. About 5% of the population, about 5% of babies are IVF. We see it also close in Australia, in Northern Europe, where you don't have economic barriers. This is the need for IVF. In the US, it's mostly not accessible. whether because it's very expensive, it's not accessible geographically. There are only about 480 clinics, IVF clinics in the US. So most people, either give give up the dream of having a baby or just decide not to do IVF. This is why it's very low. It's less than 2%, and I think it's up to us. And I think we as a society really need to push here to allow people to achieve their dream of having a baby and democratize IVF. And the way of doing it is part of what we're doing is really this democratizing IVF, and this is about accessibility and opening the market. How you do it through technology, you do it through digital transformation, you do it through helping the clinic scale to meet the demand. This is the 5% versus 2%.
Thank you, Daniello. I know Israel, it's free. You said to me a woman can or a person can try numerous times and not pay a thing for this process. So I'm wondering if we can drill down on the United States and your recommendations for what needs to happen to make this more available and accessible and what this means for the health system at large.
It's interesting to study the Israeli model. It's mostly subsidized here. So basically, it's translated to. I would even say it's translated to until success. Eventually, and this is a study that we conducted here a few years ago. We followed about 100 women who started IVF 10 years ago. And we wanted to know what happened to them after 10 years. Like they tried IVF, they started doing IVF 10 years ago. Where are they now? And we found out that 90% of them were, they had a baby. The 5% that did not have a baby chose to stop the process. So this means is that when you open the market and there's no barriers and you just allow people to do the to try, eventually it's a, you succeed. So for patients, this is a very optimistic message. What we now have to do is that it needs to succeed. It doesn't have to take four, five, six treatments. It needs to be immediate. It needs to be one, two cycles until success. This is the time to pregnancy. So right now, time to pregnancy varies, and it varies according to different parameters. But the IVF as IVF treatment is not yet optimized. And we think that by through technology and AI, this could be optimized to one to two cycles. And AIVF, by the way, we just showed that using our technology can reduce the time to pregnancy to 1.6 cycles on average, which is just, massive.
That is massive. And in the United
Really
States,
democratize IVF. Sorry.
yes, no, I appreciate that explanation, especially that's where I got the 90% from. But in the United States, I think it's about $20,000 a try, the estimate. So if you have only one or two cycles to for success, that's a big difference economically. But I'm wondering what's next for your company if you want to expand in countries such as the United States, where it's very expensive. What do you recommend? How are you working to do that, please?
We're now deploying our system in different clinics across the US. And what we experience now, and this is very interesting, we do see a momentum in the market where I think because of ChatGPT and the AI talk that we've experienced through 2023, we do see people understanding and actually looking for these solutions, actively looking. And so I do expect 2024 to be something of a very interesting year where these new technologies will be incorporated in healthcare And, for us is IVF, and we see IVF clinics more and more looking for these solutions. And I think the understanding is that this is here to stay, and we might as well learn how to work with it, because if not, we stay behind. So we see it happening. We really feel the market. And so we're now going, very strong into the US market. And I really, if you ask me what I want to be like in a year from now, I want to be considered the standard of care for IVF clinics.
Daniela, that's a great place to end our conversation. Fantastic. I wish you well with your company, and thank you for speaking to Hims and Hims Cast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.